Thank you for the privilege to learn, to be equipped, the privilege to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge, the privilege to abound in the riches of God's grace, the riches of God's glory, the riches of God's wisdom. Thank you that this glory has been redeemed before the world unto our glory. So tonight we fellowship in the wisdom of God made manifest in the crucified Christ, in the message of the cross. We glory in the riches of that grace. And as the revelation knowledge is gifted everybody in this class, the eyes of your understanding flooded with light, veils fall off, clarity comes. You're equipped, you're empowered to serve God's purpose and to fulfill God's plan for your life. It is well with you. By the end of this class, we'll be the better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Right, equipping the believer in Christ. What you have in Christ and what Christ can do through you. That's the vision that drives us. That's the mandate that gets us all over the earth. To fill the earth with the fragrance of Jesus' grace. It's a privilege and an honor to represent God's kingdom and to serve together with God as co-laborers on this mandate. And it's just wonderful here to have all of you in class with me consistently. You know, I've enjoyed teaching you guys. I'm not saying farewell. I still have enough when I look back. It's just been wonderful. Every Friday night, just looking forward to spend the time with you guys. We have so much to do and the work is already done. And I'm excited that, you know, God is preparing you to shine this light in the dark places of the earth. All right, today's lecture is week 42, right? Pastor Sean, is it week 42 or 43?
We're in week 43, sir.
All right, so week 42 was the last class I had with you guys, and today is week 43.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me try and recap a bit of week 42, and then we fly into week 43 quickly. In week 42, we're looking at what do you believe? What do you believe? We took time to look at the importance of a minister's training and conviction in fulfilling the ministry of Jesus. And we said there is a need for so much reorientation of what ministry is for younger ministers. And we said a lot of ministers have a library full of books from different authors who contradict each other. All kinds of books. And this is surely a product of a dysfunctional system. You attend a Christian program filled with diverse speakers, preaching all kinds of things that contradict themselves, leaving the congregation more confused than when they came. And then we began to talk about the importance of how you take heed thereupon what you build. And we looked at some case study. We looked at Scripture Union. We looked at Deeper Life Bible Church. We looked at the kind of emphasis they brought in the 80s that brought such a revolution to the body of Christ. And then we took time to look at the things that caused for the revival not to last, in spite of all that God did within those moves. And we took time to say a fresh generation is emerging, where the word of God will be well taught, well received, well understood, where we'll experience the Spirit of God in awesome demonstration, where we're going to be walking in love as a culture. We're going to be depending on prayer. We're going to know how to be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and make the impact that the world so longs for. And we're glad to be part of that generation that will make this become a reality. Tonight, week 43, we're examining kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. We're examining kingdom. The objective of today's class is to understand what the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of God is not. What the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of God is not. That's the objective of today's class. What the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of God is not. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, the 5th verse to the 7th. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." This story explains the history of kings and rulers in Israel. Please pay attention to this class. This will help you a lot with all these politics and things that happen, where men of God get messed up with politics and where, you know, men of God get involved with politics and all those kind of things. This class will give you a foundation and a background and an understanding. So Moses had earlier spoken of God's plan. In Exodus, the 19th chapter, the 5th and the 6th verse. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Verse 6. "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So he partially unveiled God's plan for his church. Moses partially unveiled God's plan for his church, that God wants to make the church a kingdom of priests and kings, a holy nation. Peter spoke about this as well in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So please don't miss this. All believers are kings and priests. All believers are kings and priests with no exception. Every child of God is a king and a priest. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Brother Paul equally teaches this, but in a different way, but the same thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Let's see the way Brother Paul communicates these same thoughts. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Reign means be kings. The word reign, it means be kings. It is taken from the words dominion and kingdom. Dominion and kingdom. To reign, it means to be kings. Taken from the words dominion and kingdom. In the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, the 21st to the 23rd verse, Ephesians, the first chapter, the 21st to the 23rd verse, it says, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." This is the kingdom, sitting in Christ. Sitting in Christ is God's kingdom. It is not an office of a conglomerate or a political position. Mm-mm. The kingdom of God is not an office of a conglomerate or a political position. The kingdom of God is sitting in Christ. Please, the scriptures always differentiate the two. The scriptures always differentiate the two. They are not the same, they have no connection, and they are not interconnected. Just like Samuel told Israel, Jesus told us the same words. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 28th verse. Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 28th verse. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Watch, he mentions casting out devils. If I cast out devils. In Luke chapter 17, the 20th verse. Luke chapter 17, the 20th verse. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Verse 21. "Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is not by building structures or buildings. Christ is the kingdom. Christ is the kingdom. Look at what Jesus told Pilate. Look at what Jesus told Pilate. In John chapter 18, verse 36 to 37. John chapter 18, verse 36 to 37. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should be a witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So the kingdom of God is neither in the commercial nor in the political world. I repeat, the kingdom of God is neither in the commercial nor political world. It does not involve soldiers. The kingdom of God does not involve soldiers and human sophistry and structures. The kingdom of God does not involve soldiers. Remember, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, nobody will touch me." Jesus never asked anyone in his days to desire governmental powers. Not even by mention, not even by statement has Jesus ever asked anyone to desire governmental powers. He did not preach a kingdom takeover. I'm sure you have heard these people that preach kingdom takeover, that the church will take over entertainment, the church will take over government, the church will take over sports, the church will take over, you know, all the different structures of society. That gospel is a fraudulent gospel. That gospel is another gospel. It's not the gospel of the Bible. Jesus never preached a kingdom takeover. There will never be that day when Christians will take over all the governmental office, take over the sports, take over the entertainment, take over the all the different structures, you know, structures of society. That day will never come. God is not that myopic or pinchomic or microscopic. God loves the world. God loves all of humanity. He created this world for all of us, Christians, non-Christians, pagans, unbelievers. He created the world for all of humanity. He loves mankind. So there will never be a day when Christians will marginalize unbelievers in this world. That day will never come. So there's nothing like a kingdom takeover message. But rather, Jesus makes a distinction. A distinction. Pay attention to the distinction. Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 25th to the 28th verse. Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 25th to the 28th verse. "But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So his kingdom is in his love. The kingdom of God is in his love, not ruling others with the influence of material acquisition or positions. The kingdom of God is in his love, not ruling others with the influence of material acquisition or positions. The kingdom of God is to serve. That service is love. You know, that's what baffles people, that Jesus came to the earth as a king, but not a king to conquer the earth, but as a servant king to serve his purpose, to serve humanity with his love, to serve humanity with his sacrifice, to serve humanity with his love. The rich, the poor, the young, the old, the great, the small can function in this. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is the equalizer. There is no rich, there is no poor, there is no great, there is no small. Jesus has equalized all of us in his kingdom. In fact, later on, if you read, Peter was still mistaken because Peter did not understand what Jesus was saying when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Look at what Peter will say to Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus told Peter that his kingdom had nothing to do with upstaging the Roman Empire. The kingdom of God has nothing to do with upstaging the Roman Empire. Earlier on, Peter wanted the kingdom Israel desired. That is, the kind of kingdom where you control governmental resources, where you control the media, where you control men, where you control finances. And Peter spoke foolishly. God's kingdom is not things. God's kingdom is not things. God's kingdom is not things. Don't miss that. God's kingdom is not things. Paul was very clear when he said it in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 to 19. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 to 19. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in this thing serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." So the kingdom of God is not in things. The kingdom of God is in the spirit. The kingdom of God is in things of the spirit. If I look at the way Jesus taught his disciples this particular instruction, Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You loose and bind, then it happens in heaven. Heaven there means in the spirit. So notice that the kingdom of God is not physical. It shall be in heaven. Heaven means non-material, the immaterial realm, the euphoreneos in the Greek. This includes all things spiritual. However, it includes things many folks do not understand or do not consider. I mean, the kingdom of God includes things that many folks do not consider. He uses the same letter on settling disputes. And I'm talking about Jesus here. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 20, pay attention. Matthew 18, 15 to 20. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if you will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if you shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an hidden man and a publican." Verse 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verse 19. "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst." If a brother refuses reconciliation after you go to him, others, and then you tell it to the church, what are we to bind and loose? What will be done by the Father? What are two or three gathered in this name for? These are questions I want to quickly answer. Because sometimes you have people come and say, let's agree together. The Bible says, whatever two or three agree, it shall be done. There is power in agreement. Well, that's not what the context is saying. That's not what the context is saying. So pay attention, because what I've just said now is very big in the Pentecostal circles. Everywhere you see people holding hands and agreeing together in prayer. But that's not what Jesus was teaching here. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. Pay attention. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 70 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So binding and losing there has to do with forgiveness, not agreeing for car and house and things. It has to do with forgiveness. Hence, we bind and lose means we decide and allow. We decide and allow. Jesus said 70 times 70. That is the Father's will. That is the kingdom of God. Forgiveness. As many times as it will be necessary. As many times as it will be required. To bind means not to forgive. To lose means to forgive. Prayer of agreement there is prayer of forgiveness. Whatever you bind, if any of two of you shall agree, that is, if the church authority will agree that a brother has misbehaved, the church should not forgive him. He should be disciplined. Heaven will confirm what the church agrees. If the church agrees that the brother has misbehaved, he should be forgiven. Heaven will let the brother to be forgiven. Forgiveness here is not God's forgiveness. Forgiveness here has to do with relationship among the brethren. The restoration of relationship or stopping him from having freedom to relate with brethren because of his misbehavior. That's what the Bible was teaching here. Not some agreement prayers that are people just go around holding hands. Let's agree for that car. Let's agree for this. No. The agreement here is forgiveness, and is done by the church leadership. To restore a brother to fellowship or not to restore a brother to fellowship. And that's the only context where the word, if any of you shall agree on earth, appears in the entire Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament. Now, we rose from the dead with Christ, and we are now in him. We are now in him. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 tells us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we walk in this reality that we are quickened together with Christ. We are raised up together with Christ, and we are seated together with him right now. The word sukkatizo in the Greek, it means you will never find one without the other. Remember, we moved from one kingdom into another. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. We moved from one kingdom into another. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Please pay attention. There is nothing earthly, not politics or commerce, about this kingdom. This kingdom of God is in men's hearts, not in men's offices. This kingdom of God is in men's hearts, not in men's offices. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 tells us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So observe desires and conduct. We walked according. We had a desire. He wasn't talking of positions and structures. He was talking about desires and conduct, which is in the hearts of men. Not physical positions and structures like politics, like commerce, like business. No. The kingdom of God is in the hearts of men. which means now we are in this kingdom. So because we're in this kingdom, our conduct is we forgive others. We walk in love. We forgive. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, as Brother Paul emphatically communicated this to the church in Ephesus. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Did you see that? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Love, that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Not politics, commerce, buildings and structures. Mm-mm. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. See that? So we are in that kingdom now. We walk in love. Why do we walk in love? Because people will offend us. People will step on our toes. But these people are not strangers. They are members of our family. They are our brothers and our sisters. And we must forgive them. That is the kingdom of God. That is where the agreement comes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God as their children and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Also, our conflict is spiritual. We don't have any problem with men. We are not fighting men. That's why when I see all these people who pray all these prayers of fall and die, you know, be roasted, be cooked, be fried, who will eat it, who will eat it? Because when you're frying and cooking something, somebody has to eat it. You're roasting people, you're frying people, you're cooking people. For who to eat now? Is it Jesus that will eat it or is it angels that will eat it? Fall and die. Somebody was praying, so I said, he was leading prayer, so I said, flog them silly. Flog them silly. He's telling the members of the church, flog them silly. That is, they should flog their human enemies silly. You know that kind of thing. Our conflict is spiritual. We're not fighting men. We're not fighting human beings. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, not hustling or haggling for politics and influence. That's not our warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 17. In fact, 11 to 18, I'm going to read. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, forgive me, verse 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against human beings. They may not like us. They may hate us, but they are not our target. There's a spirit behind them. It is the spirit we target, not the people. The spirits we target. Stop fighting the branches. Deal with the root. The root of all those human attacks is a spirit behind them. There's a spirit behind them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is very clear. It is not by becoming the president of a nation or owning business empires that the kingdom of God has come. No. No. It's spiritual. The kingdom of God is in the hearts of men. No wonder David gave it as a prophecy In Psalm 110 verse 1, Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And David knew he never occupied God's kingdom. David knew that. He had man's kingdom. David had man's resources. He had man's buildings. He had man's organizations, influence. But David did not have the kingdom of God. David was looking forward to God's kingdom. He was looking for it. If I look at the way Jesus will put it among the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Matthew 22, 42 to 45. Listen to this. You will love this. It's intriguing. Saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Christ was the first king in this kingdom. Nobody has ever sat on the throne of God's kingdom until Jesus came. He was the first, the prototokos. So when he's talking of God's kingdom, he's not talking about earthly influence. Mm-mm. Earthly influence is good if you have it. And if you can have it, it's good. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom of God. In John chapter 6, verse 15, John 6:15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they will come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Jesus ran away from it. He ran away from political relevance. He ran away from political offices. He ran away from everything that this world has to offer. He kept escaping. Jesus rejected it. So this kingdom of God happened upon his resurrection. This kingdom of God happened upon the resurrection of Jesus. So the kingdom of God is a resurrection reality. The kingdom of God is a resurrection reality. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 to 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 to 36. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Paul teaches that this will be consummated. If I look at the way Paul will teach the same thing, in 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 27, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 27, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till I put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he had put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Not in money. Kingdom is not in money. The kingdom is not in education. The kingdom is not in politics. The kingdom is not in commerce. The kingdom of God is in the spirit. The kingdom of God is in the spirit. We must never think otherwise. Never. The kingdom of this world is not the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world, and they don't ever connect. That's why all through the life of Jesus on earth, he never made any comment on government or politics. People ask me, why are you not loud on government? Why are you not loud on politics? Why are you not loud on, you know? Because Jesus is my model. Jesus never, even when they killed John the Baptist and put his head, chop off his head, Jesus did not say anything. He made no comment. Is it because he was afraid? No. Is it because he couldn't have said anything? No. He is the wisdom of God. We learn wisdom from him. Paul lived on earth, and all of them lived under very wicked, oppressive governments. All of them. Jesus lived under a very wicked, oppressive Herod. Everybody is looking for to be free from Herod. You know, Jesus lived under such a government. Remember when Jesus was born, they killed all the children that were 2 years old and below. They had to run away with Jesus to Egypt. That's how wicked the governments were. And yet Jesus made no comment, not one sentence about government. He said nothing to them. John the Baptist out of gra-gra. John the Baptist was doing too much. He was doing too much. He was trying to do too much. He was trying to know more than Jesus. He went and started speaking truth to power, and power chopped off his head and handed over to a small girl. Paul and the rest, all the apostles of Jesus, did not say anything about government. The only time Paul had opportunity to confront government officials, what did we see him doing? Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. So it's critical to understand this and begin to operate in the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. How be it? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Not science, not commerce, not technology, not politics. Salvation in Christ is available to all. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of his love. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of his sacrifice, which has made salvation available to all. Today, Jesus is still a king, but a servant king, serving humanity with his love, serving humanity with his salvation plan, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for this class tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to learn, to be equipped, to be instructed in righteousness. Opportunity to draw wisdom from your word, to become workmen that needs not to be ashamed, who are capable and competent of rightly dividing the word of truth. I pray for every one of you. Grace abounds. You are kept. You are preserved. You are strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. You walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You are fruitful unto every good work. Your steps are ordered. You walk in the light. You have no occasion of stumbling. You have the wisdom of God at work in your heart. Your mind is illuminated. Your mind is illuminated. You make right choices. You make right decisions. You are situated in the center of God's plan. You are situated in the center of God's purpose. You are situated in the center of God's wisdom. Yeah. Nothing takes you by surprise. By the wisdom of God, you're able to see into things. You're able to see into situations and circumstances. And you're able to make informed decisions. Informed decisions. Holy Ghost-led decisions. You have Holy Ghost wisdom. Yeah, yeah. And when you get involved with the circumstances of life, you know exactly what to do. Yeah, you know what to do. You know what to say. You know where to be. You know where not to be. Yeah, yeah. You know when to be there and when not to be there. In the name of Jesus, you are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. You are delivered from the snare of the fowler. You are delivered from every calculations of the enemy. You are far from oppression. You are established in righteousness. In the name of Jesus, Father, we rejoice. Thank you for every student of this academy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your wisdom. Thank you for your power that is finding expression through every student of this class in the various nations where God has planted you to shine this light. I decree that you are witnesses. You preach the gospel in and out of season. You are not ashamed of the gospel. And wherever you are found, you make manifest the savor of God's grace. You reveal God's knowledge everywhere you are found. You are kept, you are preserved. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Take the assignment for the week before I answer your questions tonight. The assignment for the week from this class is highlight what the kingdom of God entails. 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 That's all the assignment for the week. Pastor Sherwood, that's all from me tonight. Except there are questions from this class,
Amen.
I'm here.